What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Vile Files. I am your host, Nick, and I am joined by Chrissy, my producer, over in there, Montana.
Hello, Nicholas.
Hi, Chrissy. Got the syndicate also in studio today, helping us with all things social media and names.
And pop culture information. They're full of knowledge.
But when it comes to The Bachelor, they're helping with me get names right. There's a lot of names. Anywho, we have a really fun and fantastic episode for you, recapping episode 3 of Matt James's season. Teddy Mellencamp is here. She is a big Bachelor fan, and she is wildly invested into the season. And she comes guns a-blazing with her
to
hot
say
takes.
The least.
And so it was a lot of fun. And I found myself agreeing with some things Teddy said and disagreeing. But it was a lot of fun to have that discussion with her. So I'm sure you're all interested in hearing what we thought about all the drama that Sarah brought to the table today. And we get right into it. Before we do, just a reminder, go back and check out our Ask Nick episodes that dropped this morning. If you're looking for more relationship stories, drama, people's lives falling apart, like Sarah's did in this episode.
Way to put it.
And then I fix it for him.
You got to call Sarah now and fix her life.
Sarah, you're welcome to call in if you're listening. Also, tune in tomorrow for a fun and fantastic episode with Dr. Alexandra Solomon, who is a very talented and successful professor at Northwestern University, who teaches a very popular class, world-renowned, teaches a world-renowned class called Marriage 101. And we get into all things relationships, early dating relationships, marriage relationships. We talk about pornography and how that plays a role in relationships and, self-awareness in relationships. So it's a very fun episode, and it's great to have someone like herself who's an actual expert when it comes to those types of things. And I think you'll all enjoy it. So be sure to check that out tomorrow. Anything else that we're missing? Obviously, we have merch available on our website, vilefiles.com. If you're looking for some fun hoodies, sweatpants, breakup books, mugs, masks.
Oh, breakup books. So good right now.
If you have a friend who can't remember why her ex sucks, get her a book to write it down.
And all the new things on social.
Make sure to to follow us on Vile Files Instagram, and you won't be disappointed. Speaking of not disappointed, here is our next episode. How's it going, Teddy?
You know, it's pretty great now that I get to discuss The Bachelor.
Well, welcome back. I know when you came on here for our interview, I felt like you just really wanted to come back for this. So we're glad to have you.
I mean, that was the sole reason I came on for the first interview. Let's be real.
Are you enjoying the season so far?
You know what? I am, because last season was rough for me. I wasn't fully all in, but this one I'm really
not to spend too much time on it, but any reasons why?
I think that when it starts out and I'm not loving it, then I have a hard time continuing on, so I just kind of like let it peter off.
So Claire ruined it for you, basically?
I like Claire. It's not necessarily about that, but I just was like,
what was it about?
There was no suspense for me at the beginning. I didn't care about any of the guys. I didn't care about who she, I was just done.
Did you watch 100%. The whole thing?
No.
You gave up?
I gave up. I gave up before Claire even left with Dale.
Oh, so you didn't see any of Tayshia?
No.
It was pretty good.
So that's why I'm extra inspired.
So you're enjoying...
for this season.
This season has delivered what I think some of us hoped, and myself included, and I know Cassie and I talked about this. It's incredibly petty, childish drama.
Well, I think,
and it's a ton of fun.
Well, I think it's great because everybody's been so cooped up that like everyone's super crazy.
Do you think it's because they're in a hotel and not because of the cast?
Well, I think it's because of the cast, but I think all of, I mean, everybody I know at least has like these extreme highs and lows right now because of the pandemic and all of these things in their life. So I think all of a sudden they're now, I mean, I personally, I see about six people right now. So if all of a sudden I was put in a group of however many, 30 or whatever it is, I'd probably go a little crazy too. I mean,
makes sense.
You're out. You're ready. Let's do this.
I don't think we're giving the women enough of credit for being catty.
I mean, Kit came in and she was ready. She was calling. And I mean, I love nepotism as much as the next one, but I was like, whoa, sister, you're coming in hot.
Yeah, are you referring to her mom?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm the same. I have the same thing. So I was kind of like, all right, Kit, let's do this. And then I was like, uh-oh, Kit.
Yeah, she made a little bit of an impression, but a big one. Like, it was very little in terms of airtime, but
yeah.
Wow, what she, I mean, I think.
But impact.
When was the last time you saw someone like legit threaten someone on the show? It's been a while.
They're not afraid to throw around some curse words either. Like, to really go for it, like, and just with hate.
Yeah, well, again, I'm really enjoying it.
I mean, I love every second of it.
So the episode opens up with Sarah recovering from her fainting spat performance episode, medical situation. I'm not sure what we call it. We were all wondering, you know, the legitimacy of it. And after seeing this episode, do you have any thoughts on whether it was authentic? It was the first time she claimed it was the first time she's ever fainted. Now, you know, maybe like I'd find it more believable if she's like, hey, listen, I'm anemic from time to time. If I get nervous or stressed, I can faint. It's like, oh, but she was like, first time ever.
But I have a question. Did she actually faint or did she get a little woozy?
I don't know.
I mean, that's
the discussion.
I know. Yeah. I know there's been moments where like I have like gone to do a talk show. I remember I went on Wendy Williams once and I was nervous before I went out because I was about to have to talk about something stressful. And I remember before I walked out, I had like blacks over my eye. Like I kind of blacked out. Like, and I was like, oh, no, you actually have to speak and do this. And I remember feeling lightheaded, but I didn't faint. I like took a sip of water and continued walking on and like pulled it together. So that's my curiosity. I didn't see that fainting moment. If you faint, you're kind of like, there's a.
Yeah.
I didn't hear any thud.
Agreed.
So you, Sarah needed to bust her head open for you to believe.
She just needed. I mean, she's standing in heels. She's probably had some beverages. Maybe she got a little lightheaded. Let's call it what it is. You got a little lightheaded and you need to take a seat.
Well,
that's fine.
I think it's clear after watching this whole episode is that Sarah doesn't downplay situations or her feelings.
It's also clear that Sarah does a lot of this. Like, I was like, if there's any more breathing and I don't see a tear come out of that eye, I need to get closer. I mean, I have never gotten closer to a TV screen looking for a tear to drop. I didn't see it.
She cried.
No.
This episode?
Water came out during the ending goodbye. Not one drop of water. There was a lot of.
So you.
What? Sarah cried.
Sarah cried. Also, I will defend Sarah. You don't need to cry. In order
tears.
To feel emotion. Some people are criers. Some people are not.
If you're shaking and breathing to such extent, tears have to come out, in my opinion. Like, the first thing I say to my kids when my son's like, Mom, I don't want to do that. I go, I don't see one tear. All right? I hurt myself.
I mean, I don't want to give you parenting notes, but I just feel like demanding your kid to cry in order to give them validation seems a bit intense.
No, but throwing a fit with no tears and it's just like hysteria, to me it's,
well,
maybe you're acting a touch.
There's a childlike sense in Sarah in terms of how she handles her emotions. I will agree with you there.
I wish she would have led with when she originally broke up that date.
Well, let's hold.
All
right,
sorry. Back me up. Yeah, I know I get it.
You
lead the way.
But yeah, we'll get into we'll spend most of this time talking about
okay, fine.
Sarah.
I digress.
But let's cover the rest of the episode first. We start, you know, so what? You know, Sarah's fine. You know, and we're not so shocked that Victoria got a rose. Some very quiet, very beautiful women went home, which is usually par for the course for this time of the season. It's pretty typical, and it's not even uncommon. A lot of times people will be shocked early on that, like, these attractive people, whether it's the Bachelor or Bachelorette, go home. And I think it's because a lot of times those people
don't get any time.
The lead is not maybe as into them as maybe three or four other people, and they probably came into the show being like,
not wanting to fight.
If they like me, great. If not, I'm just going to keep to myself, and it's time to go.
So they go in with a good self-confidence. They're like, he's probably going to be into me. And then when he isn't, they're just retreat and then they're done.
Yeah. I mean, like, anytime something comes up, they just kind of hide into the corner. So we kick off the next week. We got my friend Ashley I, which seems like a nice date for Ashley, the lead, talking about, it's like novel porn. I guess, right? Is that what do we call
it's like
romantic
novel porn? It's like
I'm pretty sure I could have done what Ashley did, but if I would have had to come in as one of those women and actually do that, I probably would have rather go home. I found
you don't
think
you could have embraced it
sexy about any of those women doing any of that.
Well, it wasn't sexy. It was fun. I personally thought it was a great date in general. I love that the show is, while very slowly, becoming more progressive, more sex positive. You know, here's a show that traditionally is very, like, buttoned up, old school dating, sometimes had a history of almost low-key shaming sex, you know, especially when it came from, when it was seemed to be instigated by the women on the show. And yet here you have an episode where it was in a very positive light, had a bunch of women talking about their sexual fantasies. And I think that's a good message.
But I don't think they were actually talking about their sexual fantasies, other than my girl, Rachel, who I thought did it great. Rachel.
Oh my God, Katie was the best.
You thought Rachel, who couldn't express herself more than calling it her groin area.
Oh, I forgot that she said that.
Was
okay.
The best one. I mean, again, this was meant to be fun and lighthearted with an opportunity to just, like, kind of go for it. I thought Rachel was fine. In fact, I was kind of cringy when Rachel went up because I thought they were kind of setting it up for, like, a really awkward situation. Rachel takes herself very, very seriously.
Well, I love people that take themselves very seriously.
Okay, well, that's the tracks then. She takes it, like, also Rachel has this really weird habit of complimenting herself. By her own account, she tried harder than anyone else on the first date last week. And then also this week, she also once again was very proud of herself. She's really good at pointing out how well she does.
Well, she just wants to reiterate it. She's like a teacher. She's like, if I keep saying it, then soon everybody will believe it. And you know who believed it? Me. I am a fan of Rachel. I'm going to say it right now. I think she's in it to win it.
Oh, I agree. She's in it to win it.
And I think I'm not a man, but, like, if I were to pretend that I was deciding which one of those women I would want to be with, to marry or whatever, I would want to have more of the allure of what our sex life could potentially be than being over the over the top and trying to fake it. And I don't know.
Then knowing you want to slap on the ass.
Again, I'm not necessarily speaking to what Matt should or shouldn't like. I'm just talking about from a TV standpoint. I thought it was a great date. I thought just having a bunch of young women talking about sexual fantasies and making it a positive thing rather than something that people could or should shame. I thought it was generally a good positive message. I like the dildo conversations. I like the sex talk, not necessarily because it's supposed to be, like, sexual, but I think that's a part of any relationship. And I think it also gives the conversation. It allows us to see what Matt's into, what Matt is attracted to. Right. These are conversations we don't tend to have on The Bachelor before this early on to, like, I mean, when was the last time you got to see on this show a bunch of women open up about their sexual fantasies and how that might play a role in a relationship?
I get that. And I enjoyed watching it and from, like, an awkward viewer. And I appreciate the television aspect, but I don't think a lot of these women were being real about their actual sexual fantasies. And I still don't know how Matt feels about the dildo. I mean, even they never actually talked. He just was like,
There are two people in this world that know that everyone is unique. It's Mr. Rogers and Helix Mattress. That is right. And while Mr. Rogers can't get you a mattress, Helix can. And they can get you the mattress that's perfect for you just by simply taking a two-minute quiz and be matched with the perfect mattress. I took the quiz. I couldn't have been happier with my Midnight mattress because I'm a side sleeper, as many of you already know. Shopping for mattresses used to be a pain in the ass. You'd go to some mattress store, you'd meet some salesman, he'd give you the whole like breakdown, it'd be very confusing, you'd spend more hours in the store than you need to, and then you'd have to wait for like months to get this mattress. Now you just take a two-minute quiz, get an amazing mattress, and a couple days shipped right to your door, and you will be having great sleep and comfortable sex with a Helix mattress. I'm going to say it, comfortable sex.
I love, there's nothing better than sex that's comfortable.
Yeah, why can't it be comfortable?
Sex that's uncomfortable.
So if you want comfortable sex and a great sleep, Helix Mattress is the mattress for you. Helix is offering up to $200 off all mattress orders and two free pillows for our listeners at helixsleep.com/VIALL. That is helixsleep.com/VIALL. They have a 10-year warranty. Wow. And you get to try it out for 100 nights risk-free. Amazing.
All that comfortable sex you can have in 10 years.
ShipStation, that's right. Making ship happen. That's right. Natural Habits, you all know about it. I run my business through ShipStation. If you're running your business out of your home and shipping is integral to your success, ShipStation, hard to say, but very easy to use, is the key to your success. No matter what you're selling, anything, whether it's on Amazon, Etsy, your own website, ShipStation brings all your orders into one simple interface, making it really easy to manage from any device, even your cell phone. That is right. It helps with customer service. Doesn't matter if you ship with USPS, FedEx, UPS. So you can compare and choose the best shipping solutions for you and, most importantly, your customers. ShipStation offers big discounts on shipping rates. Now, any business can access the same discounts that usually are reserved for large Fortune 500 companies. You will always know you're getting the best deal. So get 2021 off to a great start by visiting ShipStation.com. Just use my offer code VIAL and get 60-day free trial. That's 2 free months of no-hassle, stress-free shipping. Just go to ShipStation.com, click on the microphone at the top of the page, type in VIALL, that's ShipStation.com, enter offer code VIALL, ShipStation, make ship happen. If I were Matt, right, it would just be like, who's kind of, yeah, it is an awkward situation.
So which one did you like, what was the one that you were like, wow, they were, knocked it out of the park?
I guess I wasn't necessarily ranking them, you know, they were just, I thought overall, the quality and the, like, I liked how all the women embraced it. I liked how all the women were like, you know what, this is awkward, this is weird, and instead of kind of crawling up, and they went for it. And even Rachel, to her credit, she was probably more than anyone the most like uncomfortable with it and nervous about it. And she definitely seemed like, while she was running it, it's like, I don't want to embarrass my parents type of, like, yeah, in her head, but she still did her best. I just think I liked how, I'm really glad there was no like really awkward situations.
I thought Victoria was very awkward.
I thought it was great.
No.
How?
Yeah.
If Victoria isn't an actual plant to be on the show, I spent the time to go onto her Instagram, look back years as far as it goes, wonder why some photos commenting's turned off. Like, I am invested. Like, I need to know, like, what did the queen do before this? What if the queen isn't an actor, I need to know.
I agree with Nick. I thought it was great.
She's not.
What?
Well, you just made
she
my
had
point.
Fun.
You just made my point of why she is a valuable person on this season so far. She might be toxic in real life. She might not necessarily have the highest character. I don't know. But you just admitted to stalking her Instagram page for like.
But here's the difference. I stalked it, but I didn't follow.
Okay. That's even worse.
But I'm admitting it. I actually liked her the most.
It was
during
funny.
That her sex talk than any yes. other time on the show. Because yeah. I did yes. like that she ended it with like, yes, queen. And I laughed and yeah. all the things. I like the way Anna ended it as well. She said something funny, tied it back to the show. Like, getting the rose or something like that.
I mean,
I thought it was fun.
Overall, I thought all the women were great in their own way. That's all I'm saying. But yes, I thought Victoria's was funny. And you can tell, which I think is interesting, going like what a drastic change, because it's pretty clear that a lot of the women actually like Victoria.
I think they like her because they're like, phew, if she does this, then we don't have to. Because you know when you're in a TV setting, there's that pressure of like someone's got to bring it right now.
I'm just talking about in general. You can tell. Like you look at the group, you look at the groups and you look how they interact. They think she's funny.
I mean,
they're not threatened by her and they think she's funny. And so
but that's the reason. They're not threatened by her. Everybody knows Victoria's not going to win.
Fine. I'm just saying what. But it's important when you're watching the show to see who the group likes, because who the group likes will dictate like where you know, like the group hates Sarah.
Right.
So Sarah left because she basically got bullied to leave. Well, she may be have her own issues, but like they were like, fucking leave or we'll kill you.
Yeah, like you're dead to us.
But do you think that maybe it's just because all of a sudden, like they all had a common enemy? That's why they started liking Victoria, because the week before they didn't. But like,
I mean,
all of a sudden they all had a common enemy. So all of a sudden, like Victoria was part of the group again.
Well, Victoria was the one interrupting everybody the week before and entering other people's little private time. But all of a sudden, Victoria has a lot to say about Sarah doing it. I'm like, well, you were just doing it before.
They're,
and even more obnoxiously, in my opinion.
The most dangerous predator on the food chain is a group of people on The Bachelor who smell blood. That's, I mean, more than any other predator out there. It's a strength in numbers. If they sense weakness in someone else, the group will go after that. It's like a virus.
Yeah. She did it.
And Sarah did it to herself, but nevertheless, that's how it works every season. It's what happened to me in Andy's season. That's what happened to me when I showed up on Caitlin's season. It's just, you know, they look for weakness and the group turns into like a one large organism and then attacks whatever they think they can kill.
And has there ever been a situation in The Bachelor where you can just choose to not have roommates and all of that? I'm so confused. Like Marilyn and the queen get in an argument. She's booted out. She's sleeping on the couch. It appears that Sarah's in a room by herself. Like, does this happen?
Well, they're in a hotel complex, so my guess is no one really has their own room, and if they have their own room, it's going to be used as part of the show, right? So here's a situation. Most people on the show, they kind of follow along with whatever's going on. There's an organizational structure. There's beats like a show.
Right.
And people ask about, like, again, producer influence. So, like, Sarah doing her thing, it was kind of likened a little bit to Corinne on my season. It's not the producers telling Corinne to sleep. It's Corinne being the type of personality to be like, I don't care what the group's doing. This is what I'm going to do. And so instead of, say, producers saying, you can't do this, they're like, well, let's just use it. Let's see where this goes. You know what I'm saying?
But
most people
say,
follow
suit. I
loved
suit. Corinne on your season.
I get that. I'm just saying in terms of when you see things happen, right? So Sarah isolating herself, it's Sarah's choice, and then you see it happen. But most of the time, my guess is there's two to a room here in this situation. It's a hotel, right? They're not going to give anyone their own room unless someone's like, I'm not sharing a room. And then they, again, you could use that. You use that to like see where it goes. They follow the drama.
To get yourself bullied out. All right.
Yeah. So that's kind of how it works. We see for the first time Sarah cracking while, you know, she's watching all these people talk about their performances or their fantasies, I guess, with Matt. And so, yeah, we see the cracks and then all of a sudden go into the cocktail party of the group date where Sarah is supposed to go back with who else besides Sarah is not on the date? That really matters. But there's a handful of other women.
Yeah.
Interestingly enough, Bree was on this date. Did Bree and Sarah both get one? So Bree's had a one-on-one. Sarah's had a one-on-one.
Bree
did they get
on
the same week? Was it the same? Well, we're only in episode three.
Yeah,
so
yeah. It was both last week.
So I like Bree.
Bree's amazing. But I think I only point that out because, you know, Sarah has an argument. Sarah's argument is, and there's a lot of truth to it, is none of these other women can relate to the time that I've had with Matt, right?
Right.
except for Bree. Bree is the only one in the house who can relate. And how it works, like in that show, is like, think of it this way. It's like once your start button is hit, you're like on a path, right? And none of these women's like start button really happens until you get some real quality time. And then once your start button hits, you can't stop it.
You're gonna start falling in love.
Your relationships are gonna progress. Most of these women, like they're still sitting waiting at neutral. I thought it was a great line that really articulated what it's like to be on that show. Is it Anna? She said, time is the greatest currency in the show, and Sarah's a billionaire and we all have a dollar. And that's truly how it feels in that world where Sarah has had one day with Matt, but to them it feels like she has all this time. Sarah's looking at it as like you don't understand. You will when you get time. But the problem with Sarah is you have one other person, Bree, who can relate, and Bree's chill as fuck.
Yeah, Bree's like, whatever, we got this. This is what I don't understand about Sarah. When she went in to talk to Matt, if the issue, not to be a pessimist or whatever, but if it is her father, and going, why didn't she say it then? Hey, I'm really struggling here because I'm starting to start to like you, whatever it may be that they're going to use instead of love. But I'm starting to get attracted to you, but I'm really struggling because I miss home.
So question. When specifically did you want her to bring up her dad?
The first time she came in to interrupt the date and was having her first, when the wheels started coming off.
So because when she addressed the women, after she showed up and crashed the cocktail party, took Matt, when she came back.
I wanted her to say that to Matt. Hey, Matt, the reason I'm feeling a little needy right now or whatever it is because, yes, I'm here for love or whatever it may be, but I am struggling with what I talked to you about with my dad. I feel like I should be home. But that's
assuming that's the reason why. Also, too, she could have said that maybe they didn't air it.
Right.
But then why did she made it sound like that was the reason why?
Sarah was legit bullied. Again, regardless if she asked for it or not, she was legit bullied in the atmosphere. And she was literally like, even the first time the women yelled at her. Now, other people are going to handle it differently. People are bullied every season, but this was vicious. And I think Sarah was legit like, fuck it, I'm out of this shit. Like, Kit literally was like, your time is going to be, we're going to bully you if you stay.
Yeah.
She legit said that. And Sarah was like, fuck this. And she probably, and there's probably some truth. She's like, why am I here? I should be spending more time with my dad. She probably, like, and again, I'm not in any way defending that Sarah seems like a drama queen, high maintenance in real life, probably a nightmare to date. Nevertheless.
But if that was you in that situation, you'd want her to come back.
Who?
Sarah.
What do you mean?
If she left. If you're Matt.
Well, that's a different discussion.
Well, no. But
I feel bad for Matt. I think Matt really likes her.
But that's, to me, if I was Matt, I would immediately be like, okay, this is the situation. She's already in this place where she's needing all this assurance from me, and we're right at the beginning.
Nothing more reassuring than every morning when I put deodorant on my body that I know I am not putting toxic crap on my skin. And it is possible with each and every natural deodorant. For so many years, I had to use antiperspirants that were just as toxic, but thank God they didn't make me break out because I'm allergic to deodorant, like a lot of people are. But the good news is now I cannot have to use antiperspirants, and I can use each and every natural deodorant, put it on my body, I smell great all day long. I like all their scents. I think the cedar and vanilla is one I use most often, but truly I think I have like 3 or 4 different ones, and they're all great. And most importantly, I don't break out. I don't have any reaction whatsoever other than smelling fantastic for hours. Yeah. For hours. Hours. One application in the morning gets me through 18 hours, I don't know, of just nonstop energy. It's great. Each and every is crafted with 6 simple, safe ingredients like coconut oil, Dead Sea salt, and 100% natural fragrances from essential oils. No aluminum or other hidden nasty ingredients. Each and every has been proven to fight odor as well as antiperspirant. We know you're going to love each and every as much as I do. And right now, our listeners can get 30% off your first purchase. Just go to eachandevery.com/VIALL and enter code VIALL. That's promo code VIALL at eachandevery.com/VIALL for 30% off today. Cute characters. Fuck yes. That's what I'm talking about. Best Fiends, the awesome game that's full of brain puzzles and exercise your brain, all while just these cute fucking characters. Over 100 million downloads. This 5-star rated mobile puzzle game is a must play. I know I've been playing it a ton. Chrissy, she takes hikes in Montana. She plays Best Fiends. That's it. There's two things she does in Montana.
Just sit by the Yellowstone with my Best Fiends and get it done.
And I gotta say, ever since Chrissy's been playing Best Fiends, I know I can't prove it, but she seems smarter. She does. She's a little sharper, a little quick-witted, and it's all because of Best Fiends. There's over 5,000 puzzle levels and counting. They constantly are updating their cute fucking characters.
They're so cute.
Download Best Fiends today on the Apple App Store or Google Play. That's friends without the R, Best Fiends. I think it's really interesting, at least for me to watch, Matt, just because knowing this is Matt's first time. You know, every other season, right, or at least for I don't know how many seasons, we've had someone be on like the show before. So even like, so when I was The Bachelor or Ben Higgins or anyone else, when it's so hard to be the lead and you see the polling and the interrupting, but you realize like not too long ago, you were part of that group on the other side doing that stuff. So you can kind of empathize, you know, the situation, you know how it works. This is all new to Matt. So Matt's probably just like so early on, just being like, just take a beat.
So I have to ask, as just a viewer, as a man sitting, so being a, you, when you were The Bachelor or Matt or whomever it may be, do you think it's attractive when a woman pulls away from another date?
Pulls away? When you
like mean? pulls you out from your current.
Well, I mean, you're asking me about a real world situation, all while comparing it to the show. If you're asking me, do I think Sarah would be a nightmare to date in real life? I do. Yeah.
Right.
She demonstrated qualities that made me, you know, remind me of probably women I dated in my 20s that were, you know, were really good at gaslighting me or making me question my sanity and constantly like complained and about little things and needed attention and she seems like she did demonstrate some toxic behavior.
But if she was gonna come out and even tell the girls when she came to do that, which was the worst, she should have, why couldn't she have just been like, hey you guys, I'm a mess right now. I am a disaster. I'm sorry. I had to come talk to him. I know it was selfish, but like, truthfully, I'm coming unhinged. But like,
well, they told her to say that. They told her. They said, what was it? I want to make a, they kept saying, I want to make amends with you. Just say you wanted him to make you stay and have his attention. Just
but
say
why
that.
Why couldn't she do that? Why? I don't understand. She'd rather just go, I can't explain it. Well, yes, you can.
I mean, one, she could have said it better. I don't think anything she said would have made two shits differences. Yeah, to the women.
She could have said nothing and just let Katie stir it for her.
I mean, again, I think this is a situation where basically everyone's wrong except for Bree.
Oh, Bree. I see who's the front. I asked before we started today. Well, I mean, front runner, and you were a little quiet.
No, I mean, if you listen to my podcast, you would know that I'm a big fan of.
You know what?
No, Bree's great, but I do think this was a great episode because there was a ton of drama and it was great. Everyone kind of was a loser in this episode because no one really shined, other than.
Well, Katie, I thought Katie shined this episode.
A little bit.
Was funny on the group date. She went and talked to Sarah afterwards. Like, she's the one who like went and talked to her up front and was like, you interrupted me, I'm coming to you as a person. Like, I thought Katie was like kind of like,
I thought it was
awesome
weird that Katie stayed in the room making it triply as it. Awkward. I was like, get
I
me
lived
out
for every
of
second.
Here. I know you did, but I couldn't
Such
do it.
Such good television.
I was like, and then how do you not just leave? Even when you're Sarah, when that's happening, when Katie's like, we good?
I loved it.
That was amazing when Katie was in the background.
Yes. It was amazing. I was snapping.
Katie made the best of a crappy situation, but I mean, it was pretty. Katie let Sarah get bullied and then came out. She could have. Why didn't Katie stand up for the toxic behavior that was going on in the room? I mean, Katie was funny. I thought that was a great thing, and she was okay, but I don't think she gets a gold star for watching it all unfold, watching Sarah get crucified, and then walking out of the room and then saying, I didn't like that.
Yeah, no.
Why didn't you do something in the moment when you didn't like? I'm just saying, if
I mean, here's the real problem with Katie. He doesn't like her. He just doesn't. She's not going to be in the finals.
No, she's top six.
Yeah, top six. So that's, but I also thought it was a little, like, she was so, to Sarah, like, you've got to stay. I don't want to feel like I'm sloppy seconds if you left and blah, blah, blah. One, like, I don't really agree with that. But then all of a sudden when she said the dad thing, it didn't seem like it was like a super authentic conversation.
Which, between Katie and?
Between Katie and Sarah.
I mean, it's not a coincidence that the Katie, who's, we learn, father passed away, is the one to go talk to Sarah, whose father
is dealing with a very serious illness. Especially when she was the one most mad at Sarah originally.
Well, she was the one most affected by Sarah, you know, crashing the date. It was Katie's conversation. But, you know, Katie does seem one of the, she's 29, and in this group, that is one of the older women in this group.
Yes.
But either way, she seems to be kind of the fun, kind of good head on her shoulders, you know, woman. And so she isn't as petty or catty as some of the other women seem to be doing. And she's gotten some time with Matt. But when you say, you're just making kind of a general prediction.
Yeah, general, like just by vibing. I just didn't see that connection. I like Katie. If I was going to pick one of the girls to be one of my friends, Katie would be in the top five.
Gotcha.
That being said, I don't think he's into her.
No, I would agree. But I guess you said it as if she, because like sometimes women or men, on the, depending on the season, will act a certain way as a result of not getting the attention that you're saying. But Katie's doing, Katie is operating as if she's one of Matt's favorites.
Correct.
And that, good for Katie.
Good on Katie for that confidence on that. But
I guess, you know, in fairness, Katie, she's not seeing what you're seeing.
Right.
On a television screen.
It's true.
Katie doesn't, and you're not seeing maybe some moments that were not being aired.
That's true.
But I will agree.
She's probably not going all the way.
I've been. She'll go home the week before hometowns. It's a lock.
You think lock hometowns?
No, a week before hometowns.
Oh, episode, a week before.
She'll be final six. She'll go home to roast. She'll be one of the people who gets. She'll get like the one on one and go home, and Matt will send her home on the one on one.
Yeah, that one on one right before the hometowns.
That's my prediction with Katie. But yes, absolute props for her standing in the doorway while Sarah was finishing.
By the way, it's been more than 5 minutes. Like, that's going to be me.
Have you ever been a Sarah because of your own insecurities or that sabotaged a relationship? Because Matt really likes Sarah.
I think I've been in situations where I didn't feel like it was reciprocated, but I wouldn't have had the conversations with the guy. I would have just disappeared. Like, I'm more of like...
You just left.
I'm done. Like, I'm no longer pursuing this situation. Like, I'm not the person that, like, back in the day was like, all right, I'm going to send this text and then count the minutes with the responses and then do that. Like, if I in my world, like, you're into me, you're going to write me back.
She's the girl who wakes up next to the guy with the ponytail.
Yeah.
And like, we'll give this a shot.
Yeah, like, come on. You know, like, you had to be... I'm pretty direct in general. So you know if I like you or I don't.
Well, Sarah's direct. I think I was fascinated by this Sarah dynamic because most of the time in these situations, like, the lead doesn't really like that person who leaves on their own early. It's like, okay.
I don't think she's really even that in, but that's the thing. She's not really expressing how much she's into Matt.
No, what I'm saying is Matt really likes her. I mean, very rarely, you know, we talk about, like, especially recently on all these seasons, there's these added incentives, if you will, for cast people to go on the show, like right reasons, Instagram followers, et cetera, et cetera. Here Sarah is getting a lot of early validation from Matt. I mean, last week, I think most people would have thought Sarah was a front runner in Matt's eyes in terms of people Matt was into. You couldn't say there's no one else you could point out that Matt clearly liked them more. Maybe Bree, maybe Abigail were in like the same ballpark as Sarah, but he was very like,
I think Matt's infusely a nice guy. And if you tell him a story that is heartfelt and you open up, he's big on this vulnerability thing. Sure. So if you are a little bit vulnerable, Matt likes you.
You don't.
But she's also not gone for good.
And as much as I love Brie, she wasn't super vulnerable. So I think when you had those two dates at the same time and one person is very vulnerable and really opening up to you and the other one's fun and a good time, I don't know.
I'm just saying Matt likes Sarah a lot. I'm just that early, he liked her as much as anyone.
All right.
Certain of it. I mean, usually, like, think back at other seasons. They, you know, if someone else would left, there's always like, oh, well, you know, are you sure? Because, like, I kind of want you to be here.
I don't.
And he was like, okay. But it seemed like Matt was.
But I have a question for you. Can we, am I allowed to skip forward to their final conversation or we need to?
Sure.
Wait?
No, go ahead.
I think if Matt would have told her to stay again, she would have. I think that's why there was so much breathing, so much waiting around.
You don't think he tried hard enough?
No. No. If he wanted her to stay, he could have easily said, like, listen, enough of this. I'm into you. Stay. But why else was she sitting there for so long? She certainly wasn't, like, telling him how great he was. She was just, like, and, like, putting her hand out, like, waiting. Give me the validation that I need. Tell me to stay. I'm willing to stay. Like, I think she was wanting to do the exact same thing she did the last time.
I think it's a really interesting debate because you're watching this episode and the whole time, I think everyone is just like, wow, Sarah sucks, right? And then Sarah sucked so much that there was a moment that everyone in Bachelor Nation, like, truly hated Victoria, truly hated Victoria. And then there was this moment where Victoria's talking to Sarah and everyone's like, oh my God, do I agree with Victoria in this moment? Like, what the fuck is going on? Sarah was that bad coming off an episode where everyone's like, oh my God, she's pretty, she's nice, she's a caretaker for her
sick
father.
She had
a cool
job, all the things.
She gave up, like what a fall from grace, right? So she was so bad. And then all of a sudden, despite how bad she was, she got straight up bullied and threatened that if you stay, we're going to make your life fucking miserable. And I thought that was fascinating because if you're Sarah, you're just like, I'm not fucking staying. It's like, I'm just going to quit now.
But she could have grown a pair in that moment and go, guys, but she just sat there and took it. Like, she could have said, like, hey, listen, I understand that you don't understand what I'm going through or having the right communication with you guys. But, like, I don't really care what you have to say.
Your first time going on national television, you go on, you have all these hopes and dreams. You probably haven't dealt with a lot of, you've probably been the star most of your life. And you go to an atmosphere where everyone who goes on that show was always like, well, I hope I don't look bad. I've seen other people look bad. And then you show up and in 1 week, everyone in the house is screaming at you and you're just going to, like, nut up and, like, tough it out. Yeah. I mean,
but you know, if but she knew doing those, but that's the thing. If you know doing certain things is going to create this kind of anger towards you, you have the choice to not do them.
I don't think Sarah, we're talking about Sarah, I don't think, again, is not self-aware. I'm not defending Sarah. But in that moment, I appreciate why Sarah left.
Yes.
And I don't think it, I don't know, I don't know for sure. And you're right, like, Chrissy, you're saying that you think Sarah's coming back.
I think Sarah's going to come back. It's possible. I think she's going to go home and be like, oh my God, I love him. I have to go back. And I think that's when we're going to see Matt on the curb crying with Chris Harrison. That's what I think.
Who is
and
the then, other blonde that looked familiar?
I think it's possible. And they set it up that way.
I don't
but
think
I think Sarah would look so bad if she comes back. Because even when Matt was, so it was weird. Because I was going through all these, like, how much does Sarah suck? And then I was just like, do I defend her? And then, so then you have Katie talking to her and you're just like, oh shit, well, fuck. Like, her dad has Lou Gehrig's disease. And, like, I fucking get it. Like, her dad, like, why would you waste time getting threatened with a bunch of, like, catty people because, like, you felt a little insecure? Like, fuck yeah, go home and spend time with her. I get it. And you have this, and then Matt comes, tries to convince her to stay. And I'm just thinking I'm thinking as a person who just, like, for Sarah's benefit, just go home. Because if you stay after that, you look like what everyone was thought you might be is someone who's just so desperate for attention. You'll just, like, make up whatever story you think. So if Sarah comes back, I don't see a world where she won't be fucking hated.
Oh no,
she will be hated.
I can't. I don't think Sarah's coming back.
I agree with Teddy just because I think it would.
Sarah already has been unmasked to not be exactly how she wanted to look, and I just don't think that she's.
I agree with Teddy there. I think
I 100% disagree with both of you. I think she went home because it was too much pressure to. I mean, what did kid said to her, like, I hope your connection is strong because your living situation is going to suck. That's why she left.
Yeah.
I think she was too scared to go back into the house. I don't think if Matt had asked her to stay, she would have stayed again. I think she was too scared to go back in the house. It was too much pressure. So she went home. Not that she used her dad as an excuse, but she realized in her head that this is the time she should be spending there. And that was her way of getting out.
Well, yeah, no, you're right. And
but I
that's
think she's
why,
gonna try and come back.
No, because and I think Teddy made a great point is that she had a very specific idea how this was going to go for her. And I think that's been Sarah's life probably. And when it comes to dating and it's not going her way and it is possible. I wouldn't blow my mind. But
I think Sarah, granted, this, I don't remember every detail of the season, but I think Sarah was truly hoping like I'm going to blow the lid off of this and I'm going to go in with the heavy breathing at Matt's apartment or wherever he's staying. And he is going to tell me that he's leaving to come with me and we are going to try this. Like she wanted some sort of dramatic, like I mean enough to him that he'll F everybody else.
I totally agree with Teddy there.
Like I think she has always gotten the dude that she wants and mm-hmm. she was ready. And I don't even think she was really into Matt. She just wanted, that's why she didn't come out and sit with the girls and try to make it right or have a regular conversation like a normal human. Like she made everything awkward on purpose because she didn't want to be in that setting and she wanted to win.
Sarah's not a girl's girl.
Yeah.
She's a guy's girl. And Sarah has a bunch of guy friends and when she's dating a guy who has girlfriends, the girls generally don't
like her.
And I don't know if Sarah's self-aware of that she's not a girl's girl. And yes.
I liked Sarah at the beginning.
We all did.
I was
again, this is one of the biggest fall from graces from 1 week. And Bachelor history. Name another contestant that both the lead was really into, Bachelor Nation liked, had a really heartbreaking and sad and inspirational story, and then the most hated person on the show, you ended up rooting for her like a half an episode later?
I still didn't root for the queen, just saying.
But in that moment, you were... But in that moment, you're like, fuck, what? Why do I?
I did like nod my head like two times this episode. I was like,
which is a lot.
Good. Yeah. For me, it's huge. If I could see your side. Woo.
No, it's really quite fascinating. Let's spend a little time talking about Matt's one on one with Serena.
Serena.
I was so bored on that date.
Okay.
So bored.
I was like, well, Serena's great and pretty and smart and all the things, but I felt like she was trying to make a joke every time, but then he wasn't laughing at the jokes. And I was like, you got to stop with the jokes. He's not getting them. Did you even know they were jokes? But she laughed and he didn't. Killed me.
They got through. It's like they got through the date so they could get to the drama. They're like, we have to air this. We have to put this part in. So let's just do this quick. And then we'll get down.
Well, I mean, it is The Bachelor, and it's about finding love.
Like the most exciting thing they had on that date was her teaching him how to put together a meat and cheese board.
Yeah, with the jokes again.
With the jokes.
Well, you guys forget, like on the Bachelor, like the first third of the season is this silliness we're enjoying and seeing, and they also have to have like real dates and real conversations that are boring, especially compared to what we just saw this episode, but it's setting up what we'll see. I don't know what
their kissing style was also different than I noticed he kissed anybody else. It was this weird like pecking into one another, and I was like, what's happening? Are they not using tongues? What's going on? Like the style was completely different.
So let me ask you this. You're pointing out these things that you're suggesting that Matt's not really into Serena, right? Is that what you're suggesting?
Yeah, or he's just like that. She's not on his mind right now. He's probably thinking about Sarah.
I was watching it, and maybe I was just like, the way Matt talks about Serena is very specific, and
I think on paper Serena is everything that Matt could want.
So do you think Matt's as good at saying really nice things to everyone?
I think Matt is a really nice guy. I think he's got a lot of empathy. I think he knows how to do all of the right things. I think he, you know, even how he said to the women after he went back to check on Sarah when she was in the bedroom in the same sweater, even though I thought it was a different day, but whatever, saying, guys, if any other of you were feeling this way, I would have done the same thing. I mean, that is like a nice guy thing to say.
He's definitely a nice guy, but her, what, this is the third one-on-one date? That's nothing. They're not just giving that out to like someone Matt's not.
Well, no, I think he thinks she's cute, but I think that he had more of a connection with Bree.
I'm just going to say that I think we should watch out for Serena. She might surprise us, including myself, because I didn't see it at first. She didn't have a Sarah-type story or even a Bree-type story. Her story was kind of like, you know, my dad has a plan for me. I have a different plan. Which tells me that she's on that date for no other reason other than Matt likes her.
Well,
it's not necessarily interesting. It's not the most dramatic. It's not creating any storylines. So the only thing I can think of why she's on that date is because Matt has a serious interest in her. I agree that it's boring.
Or to get back at her ex. Just saying. Nah. Just saying.
I don't know why she's there. I'm telling you why. I know why she showed up on the show, but all these women would take all the one-on-ones. Whether she wants to get back on her ex, why she was given the third one-on-one date says a lot. And what I'm saying is I don't see other, because you could look at Bree and say, well, maybe she got the first one-on-one date because her story was the most relatable to the story that is Matt's story of, you know, my relationship with my mom and my dad, et cetera, et cetera. And then the second date with Sarah could be, well, you know, she's got this story about like, oh, America is going to love that she is a caregiver with her dad. And then you have Serena, which is just like, I nothing really outrageous. And so I'm just simply saying that might mean that Matt's really into her.
Yeah. It might be watch like a Catherine and Sean situation where you didn't really see it coming and it comes in. I mean, that's
just watch out for Serena. But I would be surprised. It caught me off guard, but it's not as if I don't know.
But I do have another question. The never being in love by 29 years old is also a little suspicious to me.
For Matt?
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah.
It's a titch suspicious. Like, you don't have to, you can say, like, you know, I thought I was in love, then I realized it was a toxic relationship, whatever it may be. But like, by 29, you've probably been in love once.
No, I think it's an interesting storyline, and you're right. It's something to pay attention to of like, why has Matt chosen not to like engage and go for it, right? Like, I think because like anyone who's 29 who hasn't been in love has avoided
it,
trying
but it
might to find
be
love to a certain extent
because he always likes the Sarahs. Maybe he's addicted
maybe,
to
I don't
the
know.
Drama
but,
and
well,
the crazy.
You
and-
also he also heard him mention, you know, his family upbringing maybe played a role. Like maybe that's he's got a guard up there. I don't know. And you're right. Maybe he chased the Sarahs. We've all chased the Sarahs.
I feel it. I like Matt. I just think he's very nice and he doesn't want to upset anybody. So he's going to do whatever he can to not.
Yes, I agree with a lot that you have to say with Serena. She caught me off guard. I'm just like looking at it analytically, and
she'll go far. I mean, I mean, some of these people on the page, I don't even know who they are. So, and I watched the episode. So Serena is better off than them, probably.
So let's just talk a little bit more about Rachel. Your favorite so far. Why do you like Rachel so much?
Because when I think about who I have to go in as Matt. This is how I have to watch these shows.
Okay.
And I think about who I would want to spend my time with, who I'd want to learn from, who I'd want to laugh with, who I'd want to explore my sexuality with, whatever it may be. I think Rachel's got it. And
because of how she talks about her groin?
No, the groin was a slip up. We all make mistakes, Nick.
She had
made some.
She had a good hour to come up with a bunch of different
who
ways to describe
groin,
that area.
By the way, like that is not a good
I'll
word.
Tell you who does. Rachel.
I here's just I don't know why I just am attracted to her energy overall. Like I think like they're not showing a ton of her. But they're showing enough of little beats of us liking her. First time they hung out.
I think Rachel's probably top four for sure. She could win.
I think she could be. I really have just that feeling. It feels effortless with her.
I completely disagree with that. It feels effortless with her. I think she's very traditionally pretty.
Right.
And I think that goes a long way on this show of both the lead and Bachelor Nation thinking things are effortless. But if you pay attention to Rachel, like, it's not effortless at all. So not effortless that she cried when Matt prayed, and then cried after a paintball or whatever it was, and felt the need.
She's
to...
She's in her feelings, Nick.
She constantly needs to validate herself. I tried harder than everyone.
Sometimes, I mean, maybe she's at a loss of words. Maybe there's... I think we're going to grow to like her even more.
I don't dislike her.
The women like her. I think she's funny. I don't actually know what she does. She's a graphic designer. Didn't know it. But she's from Georgia. He's also from the South.
I'm not convinced the women like her.
Well, because they know that she's probably going to win.
Also, pay attention now that Sarah's gone. Well, it seems like next week, the best part of this show is just how, like, what the contestants don't realize. Everyone bullied, whether Sarah, again, does, like, brought it on herself, they bullied Sarah out of the house. Everyone is happy. Next week, it seems like, is going to be the week these new people show up. They're all going to be pissed. They should all be thankful because it weren't, and it's because all the negative attention is going to go to these new women.
Right.
Right. We'll see if any of those women really make a mark. It's very different. You didn't watch last season, but what was interesting about the men who showed up late last season is they were on the same timeline as Tayshia. Which is very different than this season because Matt's been the lead the whole time. He's been there the whole time. So all the new women, I don't really think any of them have a real shot.
I have a question. The blonde that they showed by the gate in the preview.
Never been kissed.
Why do I recognize her?
Because she was on Colton's season, has never been kissed.
Oh. Yeah. That was her job.
Like, she literally had never been kissed, and I guess she kissed Colton. So now she's like, I've been kissed once.
So is that going to be her name? Kissed
I don't
once?
Know. Well, and on this show, it will be.
Okay, so that's why I recognized her. Do we recognize anybody else, the brunette, that seemed a little angry?
No, she just looks like a brunette who goes on the show.
All right, fine. Yeah. Okay, but I don't think Sarah's coming back.
Yeah, we
I know. But now that we're talking about the new girls, are we going to know more than just that blonde, never been kissed?
We'll get to know. It will be interesting. What I'm saying, and to bring that all up, is that might be Rachel's saving grace. And you never know. Like, I've said this before. Like, everyone who goes on this show is capable of being a villain and a hero for the most part. Some people just suck and some people. But, like, if you are completely honest about how you feel in every situation, you are going to give context for them to frame and put whatever soundtrack they want over it. And Rachel, traditionally pretty, is getting attention. So that is a recipe for not being liked in the house. And no one likes someone who, like, compliments themselves. And so if enough of, like, people...
But she doesn't compliment herself to them. She does it in her confessionals.
Fine, but it's possible.
How could they know? You think she's like, hey, guys, I was really proud of myself on that date. I nailed it. No, she's just awkward in her confessionals because she wants to be perfect. And you know what? I get it.
I think you pointed out she wants to be perfect.
She wants to be perfect. And
that's
a
red flag.
But I mean, I have that a little bit, and I find it in myself, like, once you open up and talk about it with somebody, then you can actually get better and you can learn what your flaws are and all those types of things. So I think we're going to uncover another side of Rachel. I think right now she's worried about what the audience is thinking. She wants to make sure the girls like her. She wants to make sure Matt likes her. So we're not seeing the full picture. And that's why she's complimenting herself in her confessionals. But I think she's going to loosen up. Maybe she needs a couple drinks.
She could loosen up. I agree. Well, she's going to get a one-on-one. I think Matt does like her. It's entirely possible she could win this whole thing. I just think it's also entirely possible, and maybe we won't see it, that she could easily be the villain later on this season.
I don't know. I think Victoria be on that much longer?
Well, I think she bought her, if you asked me last week, I would say she'll be gone real soon because I agree. I don't think there's any chance she's going to end up with Matt. And as long as Matt doesn't look crazy for keeping her, she'll stick around. Yeah. Because she's entertaining. She makes people laugh. She narrates the show. Like, if you took Victoria off the season, what would we be talking about? There's a bunch of women, you know, Chelsea, beautiful, runway model, elegant, charismatic, I probably a cool hang in real life. She has chosen to remove herself from the drama, including a bunch of other people. And so unless you're like, you know, Brie is obviously, we've gotten to know Brie because Matt really likes her, right? And so we've had this opportunity to get to know her. If we got an opportunity to get to know Chelsea, we'd probably love her too.
Yeah.
But if Matt's not into her, she'll probably, you know, so eventually.
But we almost forgot about Abigail. I think he really likes Abigail.
Oh, too. Abigail is our next bachelorette, I'm pretty sure. Or the winner.
But that's also true. MJ was a big part of this episode. She jumped in the drama, and then in the promo, it kind of shows her getting into everything that MJ.
Yeah, MJ is MJ's the girl who Matt also doesn't like and has no problem. She's a girl's girl. Yeah, you know, the women love her.
Well, she's used to it. She's a hairstylist. She talks to women all day long. These are things that, you know, whatever. But know who I want to start talking more, because I really like her aesthetically, which is probably not great to say. Piper. Bring it out, Piper. Start talking. Start doing something. You're a real stunner.
There's only enough room on this show for one or two people that the lead doesn't really like, that the girls like, that narrates, and that's MJ and Katie. There's not enough room in this show for Piper. Sorry.
What happened to
Piper's Kaylee? Gonna be gone. Piper will be gone in 2 weeks at least, or less.
Serena C is already gone in my book.
Oh,
yeah,
Serena
she
C.
Any time on the day. Yeah.
And there's two Serenas.
Well, Serena C. I know.
Serena P.
Serena C is starting to get disgruntled.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's a disgruntled employee for
she's
sure.
Really, yeah, she's a middle of the pack.
She hasn't gotten any one-on-one time with him, like at all.
Not even a second. But she has gotten a little bit more camera time.
I think Lauren's gonna get a one-on-one soon. She got the group date rose last week. She had maybe very little to no airtime
this week.
But that's okay. She got the
I was so confused. She got a group date. Even still around.
I saw the question mark.
This episode was. This episode was very concentrated juice. It was like frozen orange juice. You know, it was all about the Sarah drama. And then you had your really strong personalities are going to shine in an episode like that. And that's Katie, very strong personality. And that's Victoria to like combat the incredible drama that Sarah brought to the show. And everyone else, even Abigail and Brie, were just kind of left not really.
I know we didn't even see Lauren this episode, but I think she did enough on her during her time with him that she's still in the mix.
Like last week kind of set up that we're going to see Abigail. We'll see Lauren. Lauren will be toxic
this
too.
Week. Abigail was upset with Sarah too. She threw in.
I liked
two
a little, yeah, a little.
I saw
a little spit from Abigail.
Yeah,
like
she
that.
Couldn't help herself. She was like, choo-choo. I love a 1-2 punch.
I was a little disappointed that no one when the incredible bullying was going out, that no one in the group said, hey guys, we're being a little vicious here.
Well, this is what I don't really understand.
It would have turned
about
around on them.
Why Kit needed to go to the level she did. I know I have a thing with Kit, but why she needed to be so aggressive. She just never even spoken to Matt. Like she doesn't have any skin in the game at this point. Like why do you need to be so aggressive about it? Like
she is part of the living organism that is the most violent predator in the food chain. And that is,
She said his long, thick legs with the monotone voice. I have a monotone voice, so I can make fun of them all I want. But like,
I thought it was funny. You would have been so boring on that date.
I would have not gone his long legs.
She was making a joke.
But it wasn't funny.
It was.
Did you think it was funny?
I didn't think it was funny, but
yeah, she maybe she's a guy's girl.
She's a Kit.
Yeah,
I think.
I can see her not getting along with girls for sure. She stood up for. She was standing up for all the other girls with the Sarah situation, but I can see her being the girl that also her.
But
her
she
guy
was
friend's
also being.
Hate.
I think Kit's a Kit's girl.
I think Kit really cares about Kit, but because Kit came in hot with her, like, the king, whatever the king reference was. I'm the king, the CEO, the CFO, the CEO, and the leader.
No, I think Kit's a girl's girl. I think she has
I think she probably has her same three friends that she's had since third grade.
She's got a very tight,
the mean girl.
Mm-hmm. Oh, they all, and they all look up to her, and they're like, great, the plastic. Sure.
Kit's totally a mean girl, for sure. 100%.
Kit, sorry, I have no idea who you are, and I'm judging you off three minutes of talk time, but it's what we do. I'm not going to go on your Instagram and say anything. I'm just going to politely say it here.
I'm rooting for Kit. I don't know if she will. I want Kit to get a one-on-one. I think she's a big personality. She's got an interesting story. I think it's interesting. I hope she gets a one-on-one.
She'll probably have like a long like group date.
But what happened with Mary also, because, or Mari, Mari? Because he was really sexually attracted to her at first, but then the sexual tension was over once the wedding dress thing happened, and then she got called off and had to do the paint. But like, I don't remember seeing her this episode.
I mean, again, we didn't see anyone. I mean, Maggie.
Who's that?
She's
the
pharmacist who was like, you know, I mean, made an impression night one and really.
We saw Jacinia a little bit. Jacinia was in the mix. Jacinia has her guard up a little bit, she says.
Listen, it's very early. There's a lot to unpack. We have a group of women coming in next week. You know, because Sarah left, we really don't know. Like, again, I do think Victoria is going to be gone shortly. It seems silly to put Victoria on a 2-on-1, you know, type of thing. So we don't really know what's going to be the big rivalry.
Made out with Victoria, right?
You know, Victoria ate his face.
That was a rough go for me.
Yeah.
That's why I think he's nice. Did you ever just let anybody kiss you that you just had zero attraction to?
Like 2/3 of the women.
Really?
I mean, in fairness to the
women,
I could
never be the bachelor.
You can't, like, normal people aren't attracted to 20 different people. And it's just you. So if you like one or two people, then unless you just are total numbers person, then it's like once you start liking one or two people, then it becomes instantly awkward to start making out with a bunch of other people. And these are all beautiful, nice people, but you're just not as into them. So then they're all making out with you, trying to get ahead. You know?
I'm glad I can just be a fan and not have. I couldn't do it. Mm-mm.
Yeah, it's not a rip on the other people, but yes, it's just once you start finding an interest in one or two people, like, and then everyone starts grabbing you to kiss, you don't want to do that. It's not fun, and it's hard.
Yeah, I don't know. It happened a couple times with the queen.
Matt, I don't think Matt's ever going to. What is also going on with Victoria's eye?
What do you mean?
Yes.
What
it's
do
like
you mean?
Puffy and red.
It looks like she got punched by Sarah.
When?
Yeah,
when
it's like her left eye. It's always puffy underneath and then like it's red.
It's one eye and it's red and it's puffy and it looks like it's the budding of a black eye.
She walked into a door or something.
She maybe did. I feel like Victoria behind the scenes might be pounding a little bit to get this courage.
It's a 2-drink minimum.
It is? Yeah. Why do you have to ruin everything for me?
Well, talk to...
So the people that are really drunk, that act like they have rage from being drunk, they're not actually drunk? They've had 2 drinks?
I mean, I haven't been there since this 2-drink minimum, but I think there's some lightweights in this world or not, but...
Oh, you mean 2-drink maximum. Hold on.
I'm sorry. They get 2 drinks per hour is my understanding now.
Oh, per hour?
Yeah.
You can be drunk if you... If I had 2 drinks per hour,
so if you had
three hours and six,
so you can still get pretty sauced. I don't know.
If you're these girls who's probably, I think you could be
sauced. I don't think Victoria requires alcohol to be obnoxious and opinionated.
True, but it might help. I get worse with alcohol. I'm assuming Victoria does as well.
Does anyone get better?
Some people I think are funnier, like, or you more can attractive.
Help. You can get, well, everyone's more attractive. It can help you get loose. You know what, Rachel? I think Rachel could benefit from a beer or two.
You know what? You really have it out. You know, I'm asking you now, Chrissy. Final episode. I want to have this conversation with Nick when Rachel's the one getting the diamond.
Well, I think Rachel could loosen up a little bit. She takes herself too seriously right now.
I know, but don't we all?
We might see
time
her loosen
time?
Up, and she might win. I'm only critiquing what I'm seeing.
We have major bets going on in this conversation.
What do you
whether
think?
Or not Sarah comes back and how far Rachel goes?
Rachel is figured out.
I mean,
sure.
Listen, Rachel's very reserved, and she's worried about looking good. She's worrying about what her parents will think, and you know, usually if you have you could use a couple drinks to.
She needs to hit her maximum.
I'm not
maybe.
Entirely sure we'll ever really get to know Rachel on this show, because she is measured and guarded.
I agree. But I don't mind it.
But we'll know all her insecurities from her interviews.
But we also know when she thinks she's doing great.
What she thinks of herself, we'll know.
I'm going to start doing that now just in life. On my Instagram, I'm just going to, hey, you know what? I thought I did this.
Could you imagine
today.
Like.
I'm going to walk out of here and film an Instagram and say, you know what? I think I just nailed that interview with Nick.
Imagine a post-game interview. Like, you know, it's football week and, you know, Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady. It's just. Thought I did really good. Even compared to all my other teammates, I definitely tried the hardest. Really proud of myself. Looking forward to the
Tom
next
Brady
game.
Tom Brady should be having that conversation. I'm just saying.
Well, doesn't he not even like shake people's hands when he loses?
Tom Brady's a bit of a poor sport. That yeah.
Oh.
Doesn't matter. He's the greatest.
Well, I mean, he's the most handsome.
Yeah.
It counts for something.
He's all accounts seems like a nice guy, but a bit of a poor sport.
So we're all like...
Before we go, give me who you think Matt's top four are, and why don't you give a your prediction of a winner?
Okay, top four, Bree, Abigail. I want to say Lauren. I wish I would have seen more from Lauren this week. And Rachel.
It's pretty good. Solid.
Do I get to know yours?
I'm going to say Rachel, Abigail, Bree. I'm gonna say Serena. I'm going to say Serena.
Ooh, so you guys are close.
We're close. We're only one off.
Well,
if I'm wrong, I say I'm wrong.
Abigail,
you know?
And Bree and I think Rachel are pretty obvious. Rachel doesn't have a one-on-one yet, so it's hard to know for sure. But I think Rachel's getting plenty of airtime without having had a one-on-one yet. Also in a season that's been so cannibalized by Victoria and the Sarah. So like Rachel really is performing pretty well given how... The you know that she's made time for herself and we're their point and that's important. So I think it's a safe bet that Rachel's top four.
I agree, but I do think Lauren was a lot of fun and also vulnerable on her date, which I think is two things that he
top six. Yeah,
but not you're but you're still disagreeing with me that it's Serena. Yeah. So I was just trying to give one last slide it in that we could be on the same page here. But all right. So we agree to disagree.
I'm picking Serena because I agree. I think it would surprise people at this point. But also, if I get it right, then I will look great.
Perfect. So now that we've got that covered, when Rachel wins, I expect a little special post in my honor.
And Rachel's your winner. Okay.
Rachel's my winner.
That's a solid choice. I could definitely see Rachel winning.
But I do agree with you. It could have been Abigail, but she'll be the next she'll be the Bachelorette.
I don't see how she's not right now if she's not the winner.
Especially now that I saw that she has that spunky
side. I mean, Brie would be fantastic too. You can't beat her story of being deaf and then her, you know, get to know her sister more. It'll be way more getting to know Abigail. And I think
she's funny and she's got two sides. You know, like she's not just going to be.
Yeah, she's got
sweet.
Some spunk. She got
she's
some fire.
Got, she's got fire in her, which I like from a Bachelorette. I feel like I need to write down my picks so I don't forget.
I wrote them down for you.
Oh, you did?
So I'll
great.
Send them to you.
All right. I don't want to get it twisted and say that I picked somebody that I didn't at the end.
There's a lot going on this episode.
There's a lot. We've still got a lot of episodes
I do
left.
Agree that I don't think Sarah's coming back. I think.
No. Sarah's goners.
We'll see.
Oh, what? I do have to ask. Do you care or you know, I don't know if it was a coincidence, but before this week, it was apparently Sarah. Used to hang out with G-Eazy earlier in the 2020 year.
Oh, stop it.
What? How did I miss this?
I miss this?
There's a pop photo of her and the Easy, the G.
I have so much to say about that.
What, all right, I mean, you go first.
Bring it on.
I think it's I can't.
I mean,
I've been around G-Eazy in a romantic situation before.
What?
And
with
I
you?
Was disgusted. What? I don't mean to say that. It's terrible for me to say, but like I was working with them during the whole G-Eazy Halsey thing. And if I had to make out with G-Eazy and kiss him at all, I would like, no, I can't. I can't even, like, I can't. Yeah, I have it photo in my head. It's like PTSD from watching.
I see them.
I mean, it's fine. I mean,
she's breathing heavy in that picture.
Although, he does
too,
hand out good whiskey. He does like Stillwater whiskey, and he gave me a bunch of whiskey. So props to G-Eazy for giving me a bunch of whiskey.
Why do you got to make out?
But watching him make out was the most disgusting thing I've ever seen before in
this
my life.
This will not be the last that we see of Sarah, but it's the last we will see of her on The Bachelor. But I think she will end up with some kind of person in the public. I think she has a true goal in mind, and that is for people to know her name.
She's a journalist.
I said what I said.
Okay. I don't think
so. I feel bad for her.
First of all, she wasn't making out with G-Eazy.
We don't.
Maybe
they're friends. Maybe they grew up together.
Maybe they're friends.
They're not even holding hands.
Also, she's allowed to date.
I just want to say, nice guy. Nice guy.
I think you already did the damage.
Too much. It's so gross.
Oh, wait, what? Can you describe? What? I mean, why? Why?
It's like it was like that open mouth, tongue on the face.
No.
Too much. Like, I'm so into you that I'm eating your face, making out.
So like Victoria's kiss.
Was alcohol involved?
It wasn't like that. No.
I think they don't drink, right?
It wasn't like, it was too much. It was like.
Oh, I mean, I've.
It was too much. Google any picture of him and Halsey and I'm sure you'll find it.
Do you have an opinion on this opening of the eye kissing that Matt? I mean, I looked for it this episode.
He did it a lot this episode.
He did it a lot. Okay, so. Personally, with kissing, sometimes in my life, I have opened my eye just to check for a second.
I think it's insane, the conversations going around. No one goes into a makeout with their eyes closed.
Like, dead closed. Like, there's sometimes I want to check. Well, also, it depends how into the person I am. Like, if I think they're really hot or good looking, I want to see them a little bit, like, up close and see what's happening. I don't hate it. I don't.
The girls are going to be like, when they watch it back, they're going to see him with his eyes open kissing them.
Is it that crazy?
I'm more okay with the open eye kissing than I am with the turtlenecks. I'd rather be open-eyed kiss than turtlenecks.
That's on his stylist, Carrie. I don't know why he had two turtleneck outfits in the same episode. Mix it up.
It's fall.
You still have a choice, though, right? You can still say, like, you know what? I'm not really a fan of turtlenecks.
But it's Matt isn't thinking, I'm wearing two different outfits and the same episode, so it's going to be overkill. You don't think about that stuff. That's something his stylist knows because he's been doing it for 40 seasons. Like, that's the little things that you just like, oh, I don't, like, you wear the same outfit. You don't think about it because there's like a 4-day gap, but it's the same episode.
Right.
So then you watch it and there's 20 minutes in between two different turtlenecks. Matt's not thinking about that.
Any turtlenecks. Just men out there, this is a PSA. Just don't wear turtlenecks.
I don't know. I think there's a time and a place.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. Brendan, you missed it, Teddy. Missed the Brendan turtleneck situation on Tasia season.
No, I wouldn't like
it. He rocked it.
People liked it. Did he wear it with a jacket over?
He did. He wore it with a jacket.
Oh, my God.
And it was 102 degrees in Palm Springs while he was rocking it.
Here's a picture of G and Halsey, and he's about to lick her face.
I told you. It was a lot in person to witness.
Sarah doesn't seem like the type that really wants to get her face licked to that end. But I don't know.
I
could be wrong, but
Halsey, maybe they were just super passionate. But
maybe
nice guy.
Maybe she just grew
great
up
whiskey.
Well, Teddy. I wish everybody the best. I want to stay on the pulse of what's happening. I can't wait to brag about being right.
About what? Rachel winning?
Yeah.
I didn't disagree that she would. I was just pointing out some
inconsistency.
Just small red flags.
Hold on, but then you didn't actually pick your winner.
I mean, if you made me pick right now, I think Sarah's a good choice. I mean, I think Rachel's a good choice.
You buried the lead this entire time.
And next week she's gonna start talking about herself in the third person and he'll be like, no.
You forget that off the winner often is someone who could easily be the villain in a lot of seasons. They just get a level of protection because they win. Also, the winner sometimes isn't the most popular in the house because, you know, everyone can tell that the lead's into them more than anyone else. There's a little bit of like, fuck this person.
All right.
Yeah. I mean,
well, I think
and also that doesn't mean they're bad people. Like, this is a high school atmosphere. This is not
Yeah, no, yeah. I watch all this as impossible like a total fan, and nobody is an actual real person. Like, for me, that's how I watch The Bachelor. I need to totally disengage that this is actually happening in any sort of real life situation.
And there's like, again, like you look at the Sarah situation. My guess is Sarah was losing her mind, and she probably was like, I want to talk to Matt. And she was given the opportunity to do so. You know, she didn't find him on his own. She didn't grab a cameraman and an audio person.
No, she had a big old car taker.
Yeah. So, like, that's
and I mean,
all.
Now that we know one of her exes could have potentially been G-Eazy, she really has good little confidence. She's like, I can do whatever. Who knows?
Yeah, I don't think Sarah's used to ever competing.
No.
Other women.
I don't think so either.
I think it was pretty clear.
And it was.
Oh, really... that makes me think now because she made this whole big case. Oh, I wrote it down. She made this whole big case about dealing with her ex's unfaithfulness and jealousy in the
oh,
past.
Oh, yeah. I bet it was him. What if it's Halsey?
Wait, because she took a picture next to G-Eazy. That's who she's talking about?
We're talking about that being her ex.
How old is Sarah?
Sarah was talking like that her issue with being with all the people after you just said the competition.
Well, she's 24.
Her issue was that she was so traumatically, had a traumatic thing from her ex who wasn't faithful and there was jealousy in her past and all this stuff. So, fun.
I'm going to go ahead on a limb and say that it's entirely possible to have Sarah dated a bunch of guys capable of cheating.
True.
It's true, but it could have been him. And I'm going to get into that when I get home.
Instagram,
you know what? True
stock.
Investigators never quit.
Let me know what you find
out. I never miss a crumb, you guys.
I never miss
Don't you think we'd have heard more about it?
Some people are just quitters. And you know what? I don't quit. So I am going to find out everything I can. Maybe I'll slide into her DMs.
You think?
Do you think she'll see it because I have a blue check mark?
Yeah, probably. You might want to get to it before this episode drops.
Shoot. Oh, yeah. How many hours do I have?
You got about six.
Bye, guys. Gotta go. Swipe up.
Teddy, thanks so much.
Thank you, guys.
For joining us. It's been a ton of fun. Where can people find you again?
You can find me at Teddy Mellencamp on Instagram, or my website is www.allinbyteddy.com.
Awesome.
Awesome.
Thanks so much, guys, for listening. We appreciate you following along. Go back and check out our Ask Nick episodes that we dropped earlier today for relationship stories, advice, and a bunch of fun and entertaining stories. Is that what we call it?
You know, people's lives falling apart because of love. Also, fun and entertaining.
and then fixed.
And then we do this.
And
so
then,
it's fine.
And then we fix it.
And then we fix it. You give great advice.
Also, join us tomorrow for Dr. Alexandra Solomon. She teaches a class at Northwestern called Marriage 101 and talk about all things relationships, early dating, marriages, porn, sex. We talk about it all. A really fun episode with her. It's nice to get an expert in here now and then who actually knows what they're talking about. And so be sure to check that out. And other than that, subscribe, give us 5 stars. We will see you tomorrow.